Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
There's no need to cover what I already see. You've got your reasons, but I hold your peace. You've been on lockdown and I hold the key. 'Cause I loved you before, you knew it was love, and I saw it all. Still I chose the cross, and you were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. Now rid of the shackles, my victory's yours. I tore the veil for you to come close. There's no reason at a distance anymore, you're not far from home. And I'll be your lighthouse when you're lost at sea. And I will illuminate everything. No need to be frightened by intimacy. Just throw off your fear and come running to me. Oh, 'cause I loved you before, you knew it was the love, and I saw it all. Still I chose the cross, and you were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. Now rid of the shackles, my victory.
Hindered love will only become part of the story. And oh, as you run, what hindered love will only become part of the story. And oh, as you run, what hindered love will only become part of the story. And oh, as you run, what hindered love will only
to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, here we are in the book of Acts chapter 19, and we're in verse number 21. It's an exciting adventure as we look at the acts of the Holy Spirit through the works of the apostle.
You know, it always amazes me that Jesus left the church in the hands of us, but he didn't leave us to do it in and of our own selves. Thank God it's not by our might or power, but it's by the Holy Spirit.
Extraordinary miracles we find that Paul did in Ephesus, and after this, it says, after everything had happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem. He probably wanted to keep touch with the church in Jerusalem because that was like headquarters, so he wanted to keep touch with them. So he decided he's going to go through Jerusalem back there, and passing through Macedonia and Achaia. And after I have been there, he said, I must visit Rome also. So he's kind of saying, look, guys, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, but I'm not stopping, baby. I'm going to Rome.
You know, he was an itinerant, moving, missionary. So he didn't get in one place very long. A couple of places he stayed for a couple of years, probably at the most. But most of the time he went in, he's kind of like a special forces guy. He would go in, accomplish his task, and then move on.
Yeah, and so he says, I'm going to also visit Rome. So he sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia while he stayed in the province of Asia a little while longer. So he didn't quite take off, go to Jerusalem right away, but he's told the boys what he was going to do.
Yeah. You know, it's great to have a team that you can rely on and trust in. And, you know, I think Paul, being led by the Holy Spirit, like you said, knew that he had to get to Rome. He had to get to the center of the political place right there, kind of like the Washington, D.C., if you will, of our time, the reigning world headquarters there. And so he said he wanted to get there and to spread the gospels.
It's amazing how much power the central cities of the world actually hold.
Yeah.
When you think about Washington, D.C., right now they're holding everything up.
Yeah.
They kind of feel like, I guess, they can dictate to the rest of the country what should happen, and they just get nothing done but bicker. And here we find that Paul, whenever he went to these places, he was dealing with a lot of issues that were very difficult for people to understand. And Paul was such a good theologian. He helped them to really rationalize it, and then he installed faith in their life, and things began to change.
You know, he loved preaching the Word of God. He loved preaching the message of Christ because it's the power of God for salvation to those who believe. And you can take that message cross-culturally. I mean, you know that. You've been a missionary, and so you know that the message of Christ and the cross and the empty tomb is applicable to all humanity.
It is. And we notice in verse number 33, again, chapter 19, it says, about that time there arose great disturbance about the way. Now, when they say the way, they're talking about Christianity. Because Jesus said, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. And so they said this new message was the way to heaven, and the way to salvation. And so they call it the way.
Right.
And a silversmith named Demetrius. Now, silversmiths, I would imagine, back then were probably very skilled, and they had a few dollars, and they had some influence. Said he made silver shrines to Artemis and brought in no little business for the craftsmen. I like the way he says that.
Not a little business, a lot of business.
A lot of business.
This was a lucrative thing for this guy.
Yeah, and of course they make these shrines out of silver because it tarnishes, but you can polish it and it stays nice and bright. Not like gold, but not as expensive as gold.
Right.
But still, they made them for Artemis. I'm not even sure who Artemis is anyway.
Yeah.
He is a guy.
Yeah, definitely an idol and a Greek and a Roman god. And so, you know, definitely something that the people would look at as their religious deity.
Do a little research. Write into us at Bethany. You can write into us at Box 422 at Bethany, and here in Agawam, and tell us just who Artemis is.
Yeah, give us your opinion.
Yeah, you can write in and tell us. And so he called them together along with the workmen in related trades. Everybody's working with idols, and he said, "Men, you know we receive a good income from this business." Oh, he's got himself a little craft here.
He's got his thing going. He's got his little, he's got all of the guys that are lined up that need to do this. Those of you that, build this or do
silver.
That. Yeah, he's got it all worked out.
Well, you guys making idols. Let me tell you, come on in. We're under attack.
Right.
And you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray a large number of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. What an influence.
You know, it's pretty interesting how he uses the words led astray. I mean, because obviously to them, their religion had been Artemis. We worship Artemis. This was our deity for our community, for our area, under our leaders. This is the God they told us to worship. And now Paul comes in. This guy, Paul, comes in preaching another way, a different way. And so Paul's not necessarily being cross-culturally sensitive. He's saying, your way is wrong, my way is right. And so he's causing the stir.
And the idea here is that these people were making a profit on their way.
Yeah.
So that becomes a real challenge because here, that was the real motivational force because he calls all these people in and he says, first thing, man, you know a good income we're making from this business.
Sure.
It's not as though he's really defending his God Artemis.
No, no.
He's defending his
income. He's defending
income.
The pocket. Yeah, yeah.
So it's an ulterior motive that he's looking for. And so they're going to do something, whatever they can do, to stop Paul. And he says, this says that man-made God are no gods. Paul is saying that these man-made gods are no gods at all. So he's telling the people the truth, Paul is, but these people who are benefiting on saying Artemis is a god, and if you buy one of these silver gods from us, you can have anything you want.
Right, yeah. It just blows my mind how people's thinking, you know, gets wrapped around a thought or an idea, and then they just kind of run with it and don't even realize, is it true? Is it not true? Is it really, you know, is Artemis the religious figure that we need to worship? And you know, Paul's saying, hey, let me tell you another way. Let me have you think about something else. And these tradesmen, Demetrius, was definitely concerned about it religiously, but I think more so, like you said, because it's going to impact his wallet.
You know, I wonder how this would fit with congressmen and senators, because a lot of things they do profit themselves.
Sure.
Not necessarily good for the country, but profit themselves. I know someone sent me an email. I don't know if that's true or not, but they said, congressmen's children do not have to pay back their tuition fees.
Wow.
Congressmen go to, if they get any advanced degrees, they don't have to pay back any of their degrees. They don't have to pay back anything. Huh. And all of their medical expenses are not like every American.
Yeah.
It's paid for, everything.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
To the hilt. And we wonder why they're trying to hold on to their seats and why they're trying to keep their power.
Yeah.
Not what's good for America, but what's good for them to keep their power. And so you wonder, this is the same motivation that's going on here. It's nothing new under the sun.
No.
And that's, they're attacking God here, Paul, the God that Paul's preaching.
Right.
And then we find that the liberals, in a lot of cases, the congressmen are attacking Christian moral beliefs, and they're saying things that will protect them.
Oh yeah, it definitely is true across the board. You know, I think they target our exclusivity in Christianity.
Yeah.
You know, stating that all other world religions are wrong, and Christianity is the way. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. So they have a really hard time because they're going to try to tell you, well, you know, we could see Jesus in Hinduism, Buddhism, Islamism. You know, we all are worshiping the same God, so it's not just one religion that's the way. And this kind of is talking about that here.
Yeah, today we're looking a lot at a globalization of the world. We're trying to make everybody one, and it just isn't going to work. People have tried this for a long time. It just doesn't work. There's only one way, and that's the challenge.
Yeah.
The problem.
It definitely is.
So it goes on and says, there is a danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty. So they go from, watch out, they're going to get our money.
Yeah.
So let's shift the thing now. We'll shift it. Now, it's not really about the money. It's about Artemis.
Yeah, about their religion. Here's all that we've grown up knowing. Here's all that we've thought to be true all of our lives. And then this guy comes in and just stirs everything up and tells us that this Jewish guy who was nailed to a cross and then supposedly rose from the dead was God in the flesh. Listen, we've got gods of silver that we have worshipped for years. We have a temple that we have worshipped in for years. And now this guy comes in and tells us there's another way. So, you know, I can understand why it's causing them so much pain, because here comes this, by all historical records, some short little guy, not really good eyesight, comes up, starts preaching a different gospel, a different message, a different religion. And now everything's thrown into a frenzy because he's getting followers and we're losing them. So our church, if you will, our religion is could tank. Our finances could tank. We've got to do something about this guy.
Well, they have a stockpile of goddesses and statues made for the shrines.
Yeah.
But they're made of silver, so they could always make crosses out of them.
They could.
They could do that.
If
that's what the story. But then these men who got gathered together, they heard this, and they were furious and began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!"
Yeah.
Soon the whole city was in an uproar. I mean,
Paul was such an interesting guy, you know.
Stirred up Christians at first, then he stirred up the world.
Yeah, it's like wherever this guy went, I kind of think of the words of Jesus, where Jesus said, you know, some people think I've come to bring peace, but he says, I've actually come to bring division.
And here it is.
And here it is, because listen, we're going to preach a message that God in the flesh has come to you, and it's going to divide families, it's going to divide friends, it's going to divide groups, because not many people want to worship the God who created the heavens and the earth. It's a little too much for them to wrap their head around.
So what happens in verse number 29 is we find some of Paul's companions that traveled with him from Macedonia, all of a sudden they rush on them and they grab them and they rushed them into one man into the theater. And Paul wanted to appear before the crowd, but the disciples wouldn't let Paul to do that, because they probably figured, well, if they're going to grab these friends of yours, Paul, they're really going to get you, and they're going to take your head.
Yeah.
They're going to take your
head. It's good to have friends.
Got your back. Even some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, sent him a message begging him not to venture into the theater.
Yeah.
Now, when I say theater, who knows? Theaters back then had lions and tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
They had everything in the world in there. And so they did all kinds of tragedies and everything in the theater. So they're going to get the boys in there, and they're going to rip them apart. And the assembly was in confusion. And so they're in the theater, and all of a sudden there's confusion. Some were shouting one thing, some another. Most of the people did not even know why they were there. That's pretty amazing. They're just with the crowd.
They heard the noise, and they're like, well, we got to go to the party. We didn't get an invitation to the party. We didn't know something was happening. Let's get in there. Let's become part of this. And they're trying to figure out what's going on. It's downtown. Everybody seems to be there, and there's noise. And you know, sometimes people just get drawn into stuff, and they don't even know what's going on, but they become a part of it.
And if you traveled in the Asia or anywhere in that area, even like when we traveled into Israel, the theater was always the central part.
Sure.
And it was an arena, really. It was an open-air theater and had great acoustics, so you could speak from one place to another.
Yep.
And Rome built these theaters because they wanted their legionaries to be able to enjoy the theater and to do the same thing that people did in Rome, go to the movies, if you will.
Right.
And so they built these theaters, and so they're like a big football stadium, and people love to go there and shout and yell, and let's down with them, up with them, you know, kill them, hang them by the... They were just...
Yeah.
That was their entertainment. They didn't have an Apple iPod or anything. They had to go and actually get into a live arena. And here they are. Like you say, they hear all this noise. Let's go. Something's happening.
Right. Yeah. It's just phenomenal.
The movie's on.
We're late.
Bring the popcorn. Let's go. So Paul wants to go there, but they're not going to let him. And the assembly was in such confusion, shouting one thing and another. They didn't even know why they're there. And the Jews pushed Alexander to the front, and some of the crowd shouted instructions to him. He motioned for silence in order to make a defense before the people. So he's got a lot of people trying to help him. He's kind of like a prompter. They're trying to tell him what to say.
Yeah. You know, you always got to have one guy that kind of steps up to the plate and tries to bring everybody together and speaks for the crowd. It ain't going to work that well for this guy. Sorry.
It doesn't look so good. And so he motioned for silence to make defense. But when they realized he was a Jew, they all shouted in unison for about 2 hours. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. you know.
2 hours of that.
I often wonder, you know, sometimes we look at the animosity towards the Jewish people. I mean, throughout history, they have been suffering because of their faith in God. And the same thing is happening to Christians now because we have a faith in Jesus, who we know is the Son of God, and he is God himself in the three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so whoever has any belief in God, it seems like the enemy wants to destroy and attack them. And so they're interested in lifting up any other god but the true God.
Yeah. It's a sad state of affairs when humanity turns their back on the God who created us, knit us together in our mother's womb, breathed into us the breath of life. It's a sad day.
It is. And it doesn't matter whether it's abortion of children, because children are basically born in the image of God, and they have whenever Satan sees a child, he sees the face of God, and he hates it, and he wants to destroy children. He wants to destroy everyone he can. And here, these men want to destroy anyone who's bringing the truth. And the first thing is they blamed everything on the Jew, and they still do. And the city clerk quieted the crowd and said, "Men of Ephesus, doesn't all the world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of her image, which fell from heaven?" Now, that's in it. I've never really noticed that. Artemis, actually, they believe that Artemis, the image, fell from heaven, and they must have carved it out.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Like I said, it's probably from the Greek or the Roman, you know, gods and goddesses and all of that stuff. And I'm sure they had a whole thing just kind of devised about her, you know.
But you notice how he's backing up. He's a city clerk, and he's trying to quiet the people, and he's trying to back up his religious belief in Artemis and saying that this is not something that came from us. This came from heaven.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we say about Jesus. So, you know, they're just saying the same thing.
They are. Yeah. And you have to choose. You have
Make
to come
a
to a place of a choice. Yeah.
"Therefore, since these facts are undeniable, you ought to be quiet and not do anything rash."
Yeah.
And, you know, he says it's undeniable that Artemis came from heaven, of course. And right away, they're defending what is a lie. But nevertheless, that's what they believe.
Yeah.
This Pastor Adams, Pastor Reed, you do have to make a choice. You have to decide who came from heaven. Was it some God made into an image, or was it a God of flesh named Jesus? We love you. Have a great day.